Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want them to be light. We want them to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Welcome to the Tech Guide Podcast. In fact, it is the sweet 16th episode of the Tech Guide Podcast. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. It's really good to have your company. I'm Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. And on this week's show, Apple says sorry. Sorry about the new Maps app. We also check out an interesting snapshot of Australia's mobile and tablet habits and reveal an all-new camera which can allow users to focus their images after the photo has been taken. Our reviews this week will include the Laser Share Hub, a couple of hidden features of the iPhone 5, and the Fitbit Zip, a tiny device that can help you achieve your health goals. Our interview this week is with eBay's Sandy Kulkoff, who talks about the 100 millionth download of the eBay app, as well as providing a look forward about what other applications we can expect from eBay in the near future. And we'll wrap it all up with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to get through right here on Tech Guide. Apple has said sorry. They've apologized for the Maps application. Now, anyone who's used an iPhone 5 or has downloaded iOS 6, the latest operating system, will have come across the new Maps application from Apple, which has replaced the Google Map app on the iPhone and iPad and other iOS devices. And that, to say that it has not been well received is quite an understatement. It's been nothing short of a disaster for Apple, unfortunately. So much so that they went so far as to issue an apology. Apple CEO Tim Cook wrote an open letter to customers and said, quote, that Apple was extremely sorry for the frustration this has caused. Now, for Apple to issue a letter of this kind to apologize for these actions really goes to show how badly this has been received and how hard they must be working to get this thing right. There's been a number of people pointing out quite basic errors, been complaints about the accuracy of the maps, and the misrepresentation of some areas of maps. There's been a lot of really interesting side-by-side comparisons of Google Maps next to the Apple Maps, and they look in some cases to be totally different. Mapplegate is, as the debacle has been called, has been probably one of the lowlights of what has otherwise been a pretty successful launch of the iPhone 5. They reported sales of 5 million devices in 3 days, and iOS 6 in general. This has given Apple just a bit of a black eye, and to issue the letter, an open letter like this, I think it was out on late Friday night Australian time, early Saturday morning possibly, is really quite an embarrassment. In fact, the letter goes on to point out other apps which customers can use in the meantime while Apple's getting its act together trying to improve the apps. The letters also suggested other applications, but Google isn't actually lost for users if they're using an iPhone and iPad and still want to access Google Maps. They simply open the Safari browser and type in their address in the little search box up the top right-hand corner of the browser, and that will then access Google's Maps. So there is still a way to use Google Maps on your iPhone. But in the meantime, there's a lot of cleaning up to do here, a lot of people reporting these errors. And the more they say you learn from your mistakes, well, Apple have got a lot to learn with their maps. Hopefully they're going to take all of this feedback, mainly negative feedback, unfortunately, and turn the Maps application into something that can rival the Google Maps system, the system that it replaced. Many of you will maybe cast your mind back years ago and remember that the Google Maps, while there was nothing really to compare it to at the time, the Google Maps weren't the most accurate as well. There were a few errors that crept in there early, but as the years went on, they did learn from that feedback and their mistakes and made it the product that it is today. Hopefully Apple can do the same thing, get back on their feet with their mapping application, and then allow people to use this as the default mapping application and find their way finally. But in the meantime, a lot of cleaning up to do. But as we said, if you do want to access your Google Maps, it still is possible through the browser.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
Now, Australians are truly in love with smartphones and tablets, and a new report has revealed an interesting snapshot of our usage habits. The Australian Mobile Phone Lifestyle Index was released last week, which painted an interesting picture about what we do with our phones, our purchasing habits, whether we're going to buy more smartphones, our level of penetration of the devices. The report was commissioned by the Australian Interactive Media Industry Association, and it shows that 38% of respondents now own a tablet, up from only 16% a year ago. And on top of that, another 33% have said they're planning to purchase a tablet within the next 12 months, which will take that figure a lot higher. Now, with the smartphones, 76% own a smartphone, those in the respondents of this index, this survey. That 76% is actually an increase last year's figure of 67%. And another 40% of those who don't own a smartphone, who responded to this survey, said they intend to get themselves a device within the next year. No surprise that the Apple iPad and iPhone were the clear leaders, the most popular products in these categories. But another area that this report touched on was our satisfaction with our mobile carriers. Now, this gave users an opportunity to really sort of vent their frustration in some cases with what they felt about their carriers. But there were a couple of little surprises. Not surprisingly, Telstra was given a very high satisfaction score because of its excellent network coverage. Virgin Mobile actually received the most positive responses across a wide range of their services. Now, as we know, Virgin Mobile use the Optus network, but they received the most positive responses across a wider range of services except for network coverage. And it probably doesn't come as a surprise either to hear that Vodafone fared the worst. They've had their problems in the last 18 months, and they fared worst across the board, according to the report. App usage is another big thing with our mobiles and our tablets. 84% of respondents said they use either an application or a website to access their favorite online content. Most popular apps being maps and navigation. Interesting that from our previous segment about Apple Maps, there's going to be plenty more people accessing maps and navigation apps. 74% of respondents say that they are, the most popular app for them is map or navigation. Gaming was also on par at 74% as well. News and weather down at 73%. 3% said that they were the most important apps for them. And at 71%, social networking apps. So your Facebooks, Twitters, LinkedIn, all of those other social networking applications. But a really interesting read. You want to have a read of the full report, you can find that at techguide.com.au. Now, last week, I got a sneak peek at a new device which will be released in Australia on October the 10th. It was a new camera. The name of this camera is Lytro, L-Y-T-R-O. And this camera is what they call a light field camera. It's a camera that is not like your everyday digital camera. It was actually invented by an Australian, by Dr. Ren Ng, who's going to be in the country around the time of launch to speak about the product that he invented. It was actually invented over in the US under Dr. Ren Ng's supervision in a lab. But he saw a real consumer application with this device. Now, to explain what it is, the Lytro camera does not look like a camera. It actually looks like a rectangular shape. with a lens at one end and a touch screen at the other. It's about 12 centimeters long, 14 centimeters long, and it's what they call a light field camera. So it captures the entire light field. Now, what that means is that a conventional camera can only capture one plane of light. Say, for example, the picture of a normal digital camera is a sheet of paper. It is there, it's taken, it's focused, you see everything in front of you. A light field image is like taking a picture that is 500 sheets of paper thick. And with that, because it captures the entire light field, it allows the viewer to just click on various parts of the image to bring that into focus. Because it has the entire light field to choose from, you can focus on different objects in the photo after they've been taken. So this is extraordinary technology. There's a link at the bottom of my story on Tech Guide for readers to check out some of these, what they call living pictures taken by the Lytro camera, where there's objects in the foreground and objects in the background, and they aren't actually clear until you click on them. So this is a whole new way of taking digital photographs and a whole new way of enjoying them. There's going to be two versions of the Lytro camera when it's released here in early October. There's an 8-gigabyte version, which will sell for $499. That can store up to 350 pictures. The 16-gig version can hold 750 images, and it'll be $599. It'll be available in three colors, red, blue, and graphite. My full review, which I can't post on Tech Guide until October the 10th, you will see. But in the meantime, I have explained the technology and I've put some images up on Tech Guide for people to check out, what this actually looks like, and also a link to the Lytro site so you can actually check out these living pictures and click on them and see the various parts of the images come into focus when you want them to. Check that report out. Is at techguide.com.au, the Lytro camera.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
And kicking off our review section of the podcast today is a new device by an accessories company, a computer accessories company, IT company called Laser. Laser have produced a product called the Wi-Fi Share Hub. Now, Share is spelt lowercase sh, capital A-I-R, so Share as in air, A-I-R, hub. So what I've called it the digital Swiss Army knife. Reason being is that it can do several things. This device is about the size, a bit bigger than a deck of cards, and it has two SD card slots, a USB port. It's got an Ethernet port. It's also got its own built-in Wi-Fi. So when this is in action, and you've say got an SD card inserted or a USB thumb drive or even an external drive, it can act like a file server. So PC or Mac or an iPhone, iPad or Android device, the PCs and Macs can access it through a browser, so they can link to the wireless network that this device creates and accesses and can access the SD card and its contents or whatever's connected to the device at the time. So it's a little mini file server. When you've got a tablet or a smartphone, you can download a free app to achieve the same thing. So because iPhones and iPads in particular don't have a USB port, trying to get your images from a SD card onto these devices take a bit of work. But with this product, you're able to view this the contents of the SD card, USB thumb drive wirelessly, and then pick and choose the files, the pictures or videos or music you want to download directly to the device. Similarly, though, you can also upload material to these SD cards, so it's very easy to share your content as well as enjoy the content as well. But another use for this device is it can also be used as a travel router. So if you're in a hotel room, you want to share or create a wireless network with your single Ethernet cable in your hotel room, rather than paying several different payments for your internet connection, you can just pay for one and create a wireless network and then have all of your wireless devices use that single connection. So that can be used for different devices. devices or among different people. You might be traveling with your family, and the other people in your family may want to access the internet on their tablet or their smartphones or their laptops, and you can create a little mini wireless network that way. But the uses don't end there. The Laser Wi-Fi Share Hub can also be used as a Wi-Fi repeater, as a Wi-Fi extender. So if you've got a black spot, a little dead spot of Wi-Fi in your house, you can turn this into Wi-Fi repeater mode, and it can strengthen the wireless signal in that part of the house. And it still doesn't end there. This has also got a built-in rechargeable battery. So it can provide an emergency charge for your mobile device. If you're out on the road, away from a PowerPoint, you can use the Wi-Fi Share Hub to give you a little bit of a boost to your battery through its built-in battery. You can even use it as a USB card reader. Just simply turn off the Wi-Fi and you can use it as a simple SD card reader. So how much does a Laser Wi-Fi Share Hub cost, you ask? It's only $99. I've written a full review on Tech Guide. If you're a traveler or someone who likes to share their content, wants to have their content accessible across all their devices and computers, the Wi-Fi Share Hub is only $99 and well worth a look. There's a full review at techguide.com.au. Now, earlier we spoke about the mapping application, which is one of the iPhone 5 misses, let's face it. But I did write a story on Tech Guide the other day pointing out that despite the embarrassment of the Apple Maps situation on iOS 6 and the iPhone 5, there are some hidden gems on the iPhone 5. I've called that story the hits and spectacular misses of the iPhone 5. Now, we've spoken about one of the spectacular misses being the Maps application, but I just want to take you quickly through a couple of those, the hits of the iPhone that you might not discover on your own. One of them is wideband audio. Now, Phil Schiller, when he introduced the iPhone 5 back in mid-September, spoke about a technology called wideband audio and its benefits to the user. Now, another name for wideband audio is HD voice. And Telstra here in Australia is one of only 20 carriers around the world who has HD voice. Now, HD voice, HD is short for high definition. So what it means is that your calls are ultra, ultra clear. If you're making a call, an iPhone 5 to iPhone 5 call on the Telstra network, you are going to notice a remarkable difference in call quality. It's like the person you're speaking to is standing next to you in the same room. That's how good it is. The HD voice is also compatible with the Galaxy S2, the Galaxy S3, and the HTC One XL. So any calls between iPhone 5 and these other devices or other iPhone 5s, on the Telstra network, you will notice a remarkable difference. Terrific if you need to record your voice maybe remotely. Great for radio, TV reporters. It is remarkable how clear the call quality can be using HD voice. Another little hidden treasure, or not quite so hidden, but not many people would appreciate just how just the quality of this new edition. And the new edition I'm talking about is the EarPods, the new headphones included with the iPhone 5. A remarkable improvement over earlier versions of the iPhone's headphones. Many people, including myself, opted to buy better headphones to enjoy the music on our iOS devices. This time out, though, the EarPods have been a massive improvement. Not only have they changed the shape and design, the audio quality as a result has increased dramatically. Now, the shape of these new EarPods direct the sound into your ear canal with a couple of well-placed ports and vents on the outside that can allow air in and out to enhance the bass as well. So all across the board, high, mid, and low, the bass levels on your audio are going to sound amazing with the EarPods. I've said in my story that these headphones are probably as good as headphones you'd pay a couple of $100 for, and you get them free with the iPhone 5. That's not bad value. You can even buy the EarPods on their own. They're just $35. if you're a fan of music and want to hear music through a decent pair of earphones, the EarPods, for that price, you can't do better. If you're a lover of music, it's $35 well spent. So while we've heard plenty about the misses of the iPhone, I thought I'd point out a couple of hits there, some hidden gems that you may not be aware of on the iPhone 5. I've written a full report too, so you can see the other hit that I've mentioned, as well as the maps and the other miss that I mentioned at techguide.com.au.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, moving on, our last review is the Fitbit Zip. Quite a mouthful, the name, but it's a tiny little device that's aimed at tracking your movement. So really encouraging people to track and keep motivated, keep you on track to reach your fitness goals. Now, this device is about the size of a 20-cent piece. It's tiny. And what it does, it uses its internal accelerometer to measure how many steps you've taken, the amount of distance you've traveled, and even the calories you've burned along the way. It does this quite accurately by, first of all, asking your height, your weight, and taking all of those into account to then the accelerometer then working out all these various movements and what they add up to and how many calories you've burned. But what goes alongside the companion for the Fitbit Zip is also the Fitbit application or website, the app you can download and use on your iPhone or iPad, coming soon to the Android devices as well. But you can also view it on your browser. You can sign up and upload the information that's captured by your Fitbit Zip. Now, this device is small enough to just wear on your belt all day. It's so small and light, you won't even know you're wearing it. But once you're finished, you come back to your computer, there's a small USB dongle that links wirelessly to the Fitbit and uploads all your information so you can track exactly how many steps you've taken, how much distance you've covered, the amount of calories you've burned. You can even enter the food you've eaten during the day, and then it will then work out the amount of calories that you've taken in, so that compared with what you've burned, you can really keep track of what you're doing. But it also encourages people to set themselves goals. They maybe want to beat the number of steps they did the day before, burn more calories. You can even set up challenges against your friends, so you can register. Your friends have also got devices. They can also challenge you to see how many, who can make the most steps in a single day. And for doing that, you do earn badges and other little gifts along the way to encourage your health movement even further, so you can achieve those fitness goals. The Fitbit Zip, it's $69.95. It's available from Harvey Norman and other selected retailers. Interesting little gadget. It's not expensive. Great way for you to keep track of what you're doing, encouraging you to get out there and possibly try to do even more. So check out my full review at techguide.com.au. Tech Guide is brought to you by Netgear. If you want to experience the world's fastest Wi-Fi in your home, well, now you can with Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi gear. You can supercharge your home wireless network with the Netgear R6300 Wi-Fi router and experience gigabit speeds, which are up to three times faster than your current Wi-Fi, which means faster data transfers, smoother HD video streaming, and a more reliable network connection for that all-important online gaming. You'll also get the best Wi-Fi coverage, which means you can now use your tablets and smartphones to get online in every corner of your home. The Netgear Genie app also makes installation easy and lets you view and play all your digital photos, movies, and music on your smartphone, your tablet, PC, and smart TV. To find out more, go to netgear.com.au/fastest Wi-Fi.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
This week's Tech Guide interview is eBay's Sandy Kolkoff, who talks about the 100 million downloads of the eBay app and the role that the smartphone and tablet are playing with our online shopping. Tech-savvy Australians are right at the forefront too. There's plenty of interesting stats about what we're buying and selling on eBay as well. I think the number one item to buy and sell on eBay.com.au, the Australian eBay site, is fashion. The number two items to buy are electronics. The number two selling items are home garden. Number three, auto parts for buying, electronics for selling. Number four for buying is lifestyle. And also number four for selling is lifestyle. Number five for buying is collectibles, and selling is also number five. So, but some of the most expensive items sold on eBay, someone sold a van for $45,000. So it's not just your cheap items that eBay can sell. There's also, you can sell cars, expensive jewelry and bags. And Sandy was good enough to have a chat with us earlier.
Well, Sandy, thanks for joining me. We're talking apps. Now, eBay has just crossed 100 million downloads. That says a lot about Australia, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It certainly does. It actually says a lot about shopping generally, I think, globally, in the way that mobile is actually taking everybody by storm, both retailers and shoppers. Australians are shopping via their mobile more than anywhere, actually. And there's no surprise there. The penetration of mobiles in Australia is actually much higher than any other country around the world. And we see that through eBay. You know, Aussies are purchasing through their mobile more so than any other country. I'll give you a couple of stats, if you like, Steve. I'll throw some at you. A vehicle is sold every 9 minutes via the mobile app in Australia. A lady's handbag, we sell one of those every 4 minutes. Lady's shoes, you know, sold every 2 minutes. So lady's shoes, exactly. We like to shop, and we like to shop in different places. And I think that's probably the thing with mobile. You know, you do it on the bus. You know, you can do it between meetings. I'm probably guilty myself. It's one of the first things that I do when I get up in the morning. I check the mobile and, you know, have a look at some of my favourite shopping sites. And
you were mentioning sort of the Australians, we're a pretty tech-savvy nation, and obviously the success of the mobile app has a lot to do with Australians' love of our smartphones. So people, there's a lot of those items that we're browsing but also listing and selling are all coming through that mobile app, so we're not tied to the computer, are we?
Exactly right. And that goes to show, I mean, it's the milestone that we've hit this week on mobile globally. So 100 million downloads and 100 million listings on the eBay app. And actually selling, you're absolutely right, selling on eBay using the mobile app is much simpler than doing it on your PC. It takes about a minute. You take a photograph of the item that you want to sell. You write a quick description. So actually doing the activities that people were doing on their PC are taking much, much faster on the mobile. So I think that's one of the reasons why people are taking it up with such kind of excitement.
Absolutely. And we're not talking just iPhone here, are we? We're talking iPhone, Android, across all the major mobile operating systems, aren't we?
That's exactly right. And I think one of the great things about eBay is, you know, we do have apps across all of the operating systems, and I think it's allowed us to be a little bit cleaner in our design. You know, I think the apps are much smarter. They're much more sort of intuitive, I think, for shoppers to use. There's some fantastic technology that's come out of the US only recently. These apps aren't available in Australia yet, but just to give you a taste, in America there's something called Watch with eBay. So you can be sitting there, it's an iPad app, you can be sitting there watching a TV show, and you plug that in your iPad app, and basically eBay will show you a bunch of different products. You know, if you like what the presenter's wearing, for example, on the show they'll put up all sorts of products that resemble that dress or that, you know, that jacket or that pair of shoes that you can purchase straight from eBay.
That's incredible. So now, rather than having to look up those items, you can purchase it using this new eBay app. That's just going to change the way
people are
watching television.
Well, that's it. And another quirky one, Steve, will let you know, this comes with the fashion app in the States, but it's like they call it the Fabric Swatch Finder. And basically, with your iPhone, you can take a picture of a fabric that you like. You know, if it's a sort of a floral, I don't know, like a sort of a floral fabric on a dress, take a picture with your iPhone, and eBay, again, will scan the site and bring all the sorts of products that resemble that pattern pretty closely, actually. And, you know, you can shop away. So there's plenty of innovation that eBay's bringing to the space around mobile.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, just goes to show that the smartphone and the innovation is just making it easier for all of us.
That's right. And in fact, we did a study earlier of businesses, you know, the top 3,000 businesses that trade on eBay, and we found that over 72% of them are actually very keen to start integrating a mobile strategy into their business plan. And that's simply because they need to be, businesses and retailers, I think, have recognised that they need to be where consumers are, and invariably that's on mobile, you know, shopping on their way to work, you know, shopping, I mean, I know you shouldn't, but probably, you know, in between meetings during the day. So I think retailers are appreciating now that's absolutely where they need to invest. And I guess that's why we're seeing so many retailers come on eBay and use eBay as a multi-channel as part of their plan.
I'm a bit of an eBay myself. I like to buy things on eBay and sell the odd thing. But I like how you can never miss an auction at the end of an item because your smartphone's always with you. I've set my smartphone to remind me when a listing is ending so that I don't miss out on it. But what you've described is just going to take the whole thing even further.
Definitely, Steve. And it's interesting. I mean, eBay's actually changed a lot over the years. I think a lot of people still think of eBay as that place where you, buy and sell at auction. It's kind of like a flea market for your secondhand stuff. It's not that at all. It's actually Australia's leading online shopping site. You know, over 80% of the stuff on the site now is brand new. 70% is at fixed price. So people are actually buying all the sorts of things that they would normally buy in the store, from clothes, electronics, you know, TVs, shoes, fishing rods, all sorts of things. And people are doing it, on their mobile. I mean, just to give you an example of the way that shopping has changed, the most expensive item that was bought by an Australian via mobile was a car. It was a Chevy for almost $88,000. And there was also somebody who bravely bought a designer Birkin handbag for just under $19,000. So people are, they're buying expensive things on the mobile. It's not just, you've got an everyday item.
Absolutely. Well, I don't quite have that much money in my PayPal account, but I will definitely be keeping an eye on them. So I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much for joining us.
You're very welcome, Steve. No problem.
Answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Well, first Tech Guide Help Desk question this week was someone seeking a little bit of advice about a good underwater camera. Now, this reader said that they've already got a quite decent underwater camera, digital SLR. So not an underwater camera, they've got a good digital SLR. And they wanted another camera to take with them underwater. I think our reader said they're on their way to Bali. So they wanted some advice on an underwater digital camera. Well, the range of underwater digital cameras are quite large. And the beauty of underwater cameras is that they don't even look like underwater cameras. At first glance, there's several products here. There's a Panasonic Lumix. There's a product from Canon, the PowerShot D20. There's the Olympus Tough TG1. The Lumix FT20 is quite a good camera. But there's a number of them. And the best thing about them is that, as I said, they're quite compact. They're quite small. They don't look like underwater cameras. They don't have these big, bulky housings. They're quite compact and able to take with you anywhere. And the beauty of it is that most of them shoot full HD video as well, even underwater. And all the ports and where you put the memory card, the buttons are all sealed so that there's no water going to get inside. Once it's all sealed up, you're able to jump underwater and take your photographs. Now, going to a place like Bali, which is you're by the ocean, you're by the pool, you're at the beach, it's a very good idea to have an underwater digital camera. Even if you're not traveling to Bali, summer's coming up. Summer's just around the corner here in Australia. A very good idea if you do like spending a lot of time at the beach, and you want like to sit by the pool, the kids might want to take some fun photographs underwater, then an underwater camera is a pretty good investment. And they only start at about just over $200, $299, $399, up to maybe $499 for the better cameras. But they were all have that similar look. They're quite compact compared to models out years ago, which were a lot more bulky. But underwater cameras nowadays, available from all the major companies too, like Panasonic Lumix, you got Olympus, Canon, Nikon, all have their very own models. I've tried out personally the Lumix FT20. I quite enjoyed using that, as well as the Olympus Tough range of cameras that are not only waterproof, they're also shockproof, dustproof, and they can go underwater. The average is about 10 to 12 meters they can go underwater. So anyone who's going to dive deeper than that, you may need to look elsewhere. But for those casual underwater camera users, there's plenty to choose from. And the good news is that they're a lot cheaper nowadays with a lot more features, and they don't look big and bulky and ugly like the older underwater cameras do. So good news. Underwater cameras, very affordable. If you're going on a holiday or love to sit by the pool or head down the beach, a very good idea to invest in one.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, another question we've had here at the Tech Guide Forum was a reader asking about the Samsung Galaxy Note 10.1. Now, that's the new tablet from Samsung, which is being a note, it's got a built-in stylus, so you can actually pull the pen out of the bottom right-hand corner and write on the screen. Similar to the Galaxy Note smartphone, but this is that device in tablet form. And as its name suggests, being a note, you can write on the screen. It has a really good split-screen functionality where you can actually run an app in one half of the screen and write on the other half of the screen, or run two different applications to a browser and another app. It allows you to do that. But the question from our reader who's considering buying the Galaxy Note 10.1 is if it's compatible with a Mac. Now, the short answer to that is yes, it is, because the different files and things that you share between a Mac and the Galaxy Note, things like music files, picture files, video files, they will all run on the Galaxy Note. There's an application you can download for Galaxy devices, the Note tablet, as well as the Note handset, and the other Samsung devices as well, is an application called Keys. That's spelled K-I-E-S. And what it does, it allows users to switch the Keys functionality on their smartphone. If they've got Wi-Fi activated, it will create a little mini wireless connection between, say, the Mac or a laptop or a desktop with the Samsung device. So once you've switched on the Samsung device, it will give you a browser, a URL, say 198.168.whatever, and you just simply type that in your Mac's browser, and then boom, you're accessing the content aboard the Samsung Galaxy Note or the Galaxy Note tablet, the 10.1 tablet, so you can then download and upload your pictures, music, movies, however you like. You can even download your favorite messages and things like that. So yes, short answer to that question is yes, the Galaxy Note 10.1 is compatible with the Mac. I've actually used it myself. I quite enjoy using the Galaxy products, and that is a way I can get the content from my on and off the tablet and on and off the Mac with the Keys software. So that is that question answered. And that's it for another week. You can read more about everything we spoke about here tonight on our website, techguide.com.au, and we want to hear from you too. You might get your question answered on our program. You can email us at info@techguide.com.au, or you can send us a question directly at the forum. That's where you can submit your questions, and many of our readers maybe can jump in and answer your questions as well, and it may also be answered right here on the Tech Guide Help Desk on our podcast. So be sure to also check out Tech Guide's exciting competition. We're running a competition to win an iPhone 5. The link to enter is at the top right-hand corner of the homepage. The iPhone 5 prize has been supplied by our friends at discount telco and broadband provider slimtel.com.au. Get your entry in. You've got to be in it to win it, as they say. But in the meantime, thanks for your company, and we'll catch you next week.